Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on where you are around the world here on ACB Radio Mainstream, and welcome to Main Menu. Tonight we are live because we're going to be bringing you Main Menu live during the second hour. I wanted to bring my co-host on with me tonight, Daryl Shandro. Good evening, Daryl. How are you?
Good evening.
Good evening.
We have two presentations coming up. The first one will be Stephen Guerra from Independent Living Aids, featuring the Dora the Explorer electronic crayons for children with blindness and visual impairment.
That's right. And then coming up after that, we bring you another presentation from Mark Mulcahy all about the Icon. He takes us through an in-depth product review of the Icon. And then after that, we'll be bringing our panel of experts on. We'll be talking to them for a few minutes, and then we'll bring Mark Mulcahy on. You'll be able to call in and ask him questions on Main Menu Live. Let's go ahead and get started with this week's edition of Main Menu, followed by Main Menu Live.
This is a production of Independent Living Aids. ILLAA. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the podcast for Independent Living Aids. We're going to be discussing the Dora the Explorer interactive talking crayons. In this podcast, Independent Living Aids will be exploring with two professionals, Lori Varelli, president of International World of Toys, and the manufacturer for Dora the Explorer interactive talking crayons, and Sheila Amato, a certified teacher for students who are visually impaired. We hope you enjoy the show, and as always, you can contact Independent Living Aids at 1-800-537-2118 or on the web at www.independentliving.com. Today with us is Lori Varelli, the president of International World of Toys. Lori, who's International World of Toys?
International World of Toys is more than just a simple toy manufacturer. Our vision, as well as the company's ultimate goal, is rooted in making children happy. International World of Toys set out to provide children with educational, innovative, and fun toys that both a child and parent could agree upon. The nature of our business is to create patent products, educational, ingenious, one-of-a-kind children's toys that meets the ultimate goal of our company.
Lori, how and when was International World of Toys created?
The business was originally created in 1995 by myself, but when we first started, we were a distribution company, and we used to distribute children toys. For example, we were distributors for Bandai Toys and for Irwin Toys. 5 years later, we moved on to a new venture of creating and manufacturing our own brand of patent innovative toy products.
What products prior to Dora the Explorer interactive crayons did you create that were interactive or talking?
We've actually created, when we first started into manufacturing, we've created a talking soap. It's actually a soap bar that, once wet, it talks. So, for example, if you have, just taking Dora as an example, just say something like, come and have fun in the bath with me. So this product actually gets children to wash up, and moms are really happy about that because there's no hassle in getting them to wash their hands or take a bath because it's fun while they're doing it.
When developing the interactive talking crayons, what was the original thought or targeted group that you were looking to single out?
Our original thought was simple, is to create one-of-a-kind educational activity toy product. Then we put our heads together and we developed Talking Crayons, and it came to life. And this is a product that we're very, very proud of. And the age groups within all our products are mostly between 3 and 12 years old.
Ever imagine that the interactive talking crayons could have ever been useful for the blind or for those with low vision?
To be completely honest, the thought never occurred to us. It was only after we began receiving testimonials from parents and teachers of visual impaired children that we realized what an amazing benefit talking crayons had. Knowing that our eye crayons have given these precious little children an added independence had meant the world to us.
Fantastic. What a great idea. Tell us about the crayons. Inside the packaging, when someone purchases this, whether commercially or from independent living aids, what comes inside the initial package?
The initial package of Dora Talking Crayons, or any talking crayons, is basically a head, which is the brain, 6 colored crayons, and a coloring Z Fold. The children can color as they insert the crayons into the head and play along with the whole, you know, the whole packaging.
Right. And what colors come in that initial pack?
The primary colors are purple, green, yellow, red, orange, and blue.
Great. Is there an opportunity for expansion pack for additional crayons, or is it just those crayons that you have the technology for it to be talk the
color? Oh, no. Definitely, there's a line of talking crayons. It includes a value pack, bonus pack, replacement pack, blister pack, condensed pack. We try to service the retail needs.
Right.
So if one of the retailers want to put it on a clip strip program, we are able to achieve this.
What caused you to isolate Dora the Explorer? Was it just a marketing survey you did? And how... How successful has this campaign been for you?
When we originally came up with a product, we wanted to associate a brand to it that would drive the product sales and that children recognize. I mean, Dora's been number one in the U.S. and Canada, pretty much worldwide, where it's her programming. And when we sat down with Nickelodeon, they immediately thought that this was a brilliant idea and that Dora would definitely drive the product sales into retail, into children's homes and hearts. So this was something that, I mean, it was a great partnership between us and Nickelodeon. We have a great product. They have a great brand. And coming together, it really worked well for both of us.
With the use of the crayons, since I've used them and I've played with them several times, when you put the crayon into the head of the unit,
mm-hmm.
it mentions to you the color. It spells out the color for mm-hmm. you and gives you a short little sentence. And in the midst of that sentence, it mentions characters. Are those characters of Dora the Explorer?
Definitely. The whole script around Talking Crayon, Dora's Talking Crayon, is based around her episodes. So when we originally wrote the script and had to get it approved, we based it around her episodes so children can relate to it. Like, for example, when she explains the color red, she'll say red is the color of an apple. But red is the color of Boots' red boots. So if you're a little girl, little boy, and you watch the show, you'll know that red relates to the monkey's boots, which
right.
his name is Boots. So the whole, it's really cute because all the crayons are related around Dora's episodes. No, well, not the episodes exactly, but the characters and names of her show. You should watch Dora.
Yeah, I've never watched Dora the Explorer, but what was the thought process behind in the scripting of announcing the color of the crayon in Spanish?
The whole backing around that is to give children a bilingualism where they can learn two languages instead of one. In other words, there are six colors. They can learn them in English, and they have also the opportunity to them picking them up in Spanish. So in other words, she'll say red in English and then red in Spanish, and we figured that that's kind of a double kick-in when it comes to learning the colors and learning them in two different languages.
What new interactive products are you developing right now, and what other current products do you have that are interactive and talking for International Word of Toys?
We're always looking into creative, innovative, unique products that allow children to learn while playing. We have a few new projects coming out end of this year. Our new projects include a spoon and a fork, which they're called the eye feeders, and it helps children make mealtimes pleasant. In other words, if a child is having a difficult time eating or doesn't like to eat or doesn't like to actually sit down and you know, have a plate of soup or whatever that their moms are feeding them, this unique tool helps a child to eat while playing. In other words, she would feed them and press the buttons, and there'll be different animal sounds that will play, and it just makes the mealtime more enjoyable for the child and, you know, hassle-free for the moms.
Right, much like open your mouth, here comes a choo-choo.
Yeah, and you press the button and you hear choo-choo, right. Choo-choo. Yeah, you hear like a real choo-choo train coming. You know,
cool.
That wasn't a really good impression of a choo-choo train, but...
No, that's fine. Your products are being sold with Independent Living Aids. Where else might someone purchase your products?
We're very proud to say that our products are available around the world. Some of our major retailers are in Canada. There's Zellers and Toys R Us. In the United States, Walmart, Target. In Australia, it's Kmart, Target, Cole Myers. We're presently branching out in Europe, so there's quite a few places where the product can be picked up if one was looking for it.
And, of course, Independent Living Aids, right?
Absolutely.
What trade shows are International Word of Toys going to be attending in the future?
We're actually exhibiting at the New York Toy Fair this year, coming up February 11th to 14th. We'll be there, and our booth number is 5567, so anybody that wants to come by and learn a little bit more about the product, feel free. And we're looking at the month of August exhibiting at another trade show. It's a craft show. We're not really sure the location of it yet, but we try to, you know, exhibit about twice a year.
Hi everybody, this is Steve from Independent Living Aids, and we're sitting with Sheila Amano, a certified teacher of students who are visually impaired. Sheila, tell us about you and about your education and how you became certified for a teacher of students who are visually impaired.
Well, I started off as a teacher of students who were hearing impaired and got some students with visual impairments, went back to college to get my New York State certification as a teacher of students who are blind or visually impaired. Got my Master's of Education and my doctorate from Teachers College, Columbia University in Blindness and Visual Impairment.
How long have you been teaching?
This is my 35th year.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
So, you've seen the Dora the Explorer interactive talking crayons. You as a teacher, your initial reactions of it?
I like to give my students choices, and I like to give them options for things that they can choose to use in the classroom that will help level the playing field. And I used them today for the first time with one of my students who is blind, reads Braille, and is 7 years old. And his first reaction when he saw them and he started experimenting with them is, wow, this is cool.
As a product that hopefully will allow parents who are blind with children and or parents of blind children, what do you think its impact is going to be?
I remember when my children were younger that I would do things with them. I would read with them. I would color with them. I would take them places. And that was a very important bonding time for me. And it was also a time where I could bring experiences. We could share experiences. And that's just as crucial, if not more crucial, for parents of children who have visual impairments.
Do you feel that the crayons, because they are brailled by Independent Living Aids, do you think that will take away the initial or frustration of not knowing what the colors of the crayons are?
As best practice, what teachers often do is, in a regular education classroom, they label things. They label the door, and they label the desk, and the chair, and the blackboard, and the books. And for a child who's blind, the teacher of the visually impaired will label things in Braille as well. So this is just a natural extension of what we should be doing every day.
Do you think that these crayons can continue on their increasing of their imagination? See, as a child, I always thought in using Legos, as I might use that as an example, that it enabled me to build things that I could see in the way I saw them. Do you think the crayons lend that to children who are of low vision or who are totally blind now that they never had before?
That's a good question. There are many, many tools that children can use to help foster their imagination. I mean, crayons is one of them because you can draw whatever's in your mind, mm-hmm. and you don't have to follow anyone else's perception. And the ability to independently identify colors, for example, is a big part of growing up.
It's unique that these colors are the colors of the rainbow. Why don't you tell everyone who's listening about what your student did this morning?
Oh, he was experimenting with the crayons, and I let him figure out, you know, how to insert them into the cap by himself. And when it came time to put them away, he actually put every color in, and he reorganized them back in the package, following the colors of the rainbow. So he went Roy G. Biv. It's red, orange, yellow, green, blue, and then the purple. Mm-hmm. And he said that was the first time he could do that without having to ask his mother or his brother to help him identify the colors.
And that's why Independent Living Aids has this product, to make those children's lives as active and independent as possible. Sheila, thank you for your time. We appreciate your time and your evaluation of the crayons. We'd like to thank our guests, Lori Varelli, President of International World of Toys, and Sheila Amato, a certified teacher of students who are visually impaired, for exploring this great new exciting product, an introduction to assistive technology, Dora the Explorer, interactive talking crayons. For more information about this product or any of our products at Independent Living Aids, please contact our sales and support staff at 1-800-537-2118. As always, you can reach us on the web at www.independentliving.com. And lastly, to send us emails, send to can-do@independentliving.com. I'm Steve Guerra, Assistive Technology Specialist for Independent Living Aids. Thanks again, and see you next time. This is a production of Independent Living Aids. ILLA.
Hi, Main Menu listeners. This is Mark Mulcahy with Level Star, and for the next 50 minutes or so, I'm going to introduce you to the Icon Mobile Manager. And there's no way in 50 minutes that I can cover everything, so I'm going to give you a brief demo of as many of the applications as I can, and if you want more information, you can always visit our website, which is www.levelstar.com. I'll also give you all of our contact information at the end of the demo here. So first of all, for those of you who don't know what the Icon is, let me give you a quick overview and description of it. The Icon is a portable handheld device. It's about 3 inches wide by 5 inches long by a little bit under an inch thick. On the front surface of the Icon is a telephone-style keypad and some menu and navigation keys. On the left side of the Icon, there's a dedicated volume up-down key, a key that switches between the Icon's built-in stereo speakers and the Icon's earpiece. And finally, on the left side, the bottommost button is a voice record button. On the back of the Icon is the battery cover, so you can easily remove and replace its lithium-ion rechargeable battery. On the top of the Icon are 4 items of interest. On the far left is a standard 3.5mm stereo microphone jack. In the center is a mini SD slot for removable flash storage. You can get mini SD cards in up to 2 GB sizes now, I think. To the right of that is a 3.5mm stereo headphone jack, and to the right of that is a 2.5mm stereo headset jack. So that's basically what the icon looks like on the outside. On the inside, we have a 30 gigabyte hard drive, so you can literally store anywhere between 5 and 7,000 songs, depending on how big your songs are, and about as many digital textbooks, or you can store between 50 and 100 audiobooks. Obviously, here again, depending on how long the book is and what quality of audio it uses. The icon also has a built-in 256 megabyte flash disk, of which about 200 megabytes are available right now for user storage. The icon has built-in 802.11b wireless internet capability, so you don't need any extra cards. It's all built right into the handheld device, as well as built-in Bluetooth support. So we have Bluetooth keyboard support coming very shortly in the icon as well. The icon has built-in stereo speakers on the handheld device, as well as an earpiece for private listening. On the bottom of the icon is a connector into which you can plug the supplied cable, which allows you to connect USB devices to the icon, such as thumb drives or external USB keyboards, as well as connect your icon to your PC via USB. The cable also includes a connector for the icon's fast charger, which can charge the battery in between 1.5 and 2 hours if the icon is turned off. When your icon is plugged into the PC, it's also charging, although the battery takes between 3 and 4 hours to charge if the icon is powered off. So I've given you a brief overview of what the icon is and some of the specifications. If you want more specific details, you can go to our website, www.levelstar.com. Now I'd like to move on to a whirlwind tour of the applications in the icon. So to start, I'd like to show you the various ways that you can input text into the icon. There are basically two ways that you can enter text into the icon itself. They are what we call ABC mode and thumbnail mode. And to demonstrate these, I'm going to open Icon's word processor. So I'll press Applications.
Applications menu.
And then 5 for Tools.
5. 1 word processor.
And then 1 for word processor.
1. Untitled.
And we have an untitled document open in which I'm going to demonstrate these two ways of entering text into the icon. ABC mode is text message mode. If you're familiar with how you enter text messages on a cell phone, this is exactly what ABC mode is. So the idea here is that there are letters or symbols on each of the keys on Icon's telephone-style keypad. So for example, the number 2 has the letters A, B, and C on it. The number 5 has the letters J, K, and L on it, etc. And you press the key that contains the letter you want to type until you hear the letter, and then you wait, and Icon will enter it into the document or the text field. So, for example, if I want to type the letter C, I'll press 2 3 times. The icon will say A, B, C, and then C again when it's typed the letter. So, for example, I'll do that now. I'll type a C.
A, B, C, C.
And you'll notice I paused for about a second, and the icon said C again, and it actually entered the C into the document. If I want to type an H, I press 4 twice.
G, H, H.
The number 1 key has a bunch of symbols on it, so I'll cycle through those now. The number 1 key has
dot, at, slash, colon, 1. Question, line, equals, dot.
And we're back to the dot. So the number 1 is what you use to type the various symbols that you'll need for entering web addresses and email addresses and that sort of thing. So now, thumb braille mode. Thumb braille mode lets you type braille on the icon's telephone-style keypad. And I'll switch into it now.
Keypad mode, thumb braille.
And we're now in thumb braille mode. And in thumb braille mode, the left column of numbers, 1, 4, and 7, represents dot 1, 2, 3 of the braille cell. And the right column of numbers, 3, 6, and 9, represent dots 4, 5, and 6. So, for example, if I want to type an M, which is dots 1, 3, 4, I would press 1, 7, and 3 simultaneously. It's very hard to describe, but it's easier to conceptualize when you actually have an icon sitting in front of you. So, again, to type an M, which is dots 1, 3, and 4, I would press the number 1, 7, and 3 together, and the icon will type an M. To type an A, I would simply press 1.
A.
And to type an R, I would press 1, 4, 7, and 6.
R.
And to type a C, I would press 1 and 3.
C.
And I've typed my name, and that's in thumb braille mode. So that's a basic overview of the two methods by which you can enter text either into a word processing document or into a text field on the icon. You can also, incidentally, plug in a standard USB keyboard and use that to type text. We also have Bluetooth keyboard support in the works. So to demonstrate some of the other word processing features, I'm going to create a new document. So I'll press Menu.
Word Processor Menu. Select an option 1 file. Alt plus F.
We'll pick 1 for the file menu.
1. 1 save file. Control plus S.
And I'll move down to New Document.
3 New Document. Control plus N.
Press select.
Untitled 2.
And we have a new document open, ready to type in. So I will type some text.
T-H-I-S space I-S space A space T-E-S-T space O-F space I-C-O-N tick S space W-O-R-D space P-R-O-C-E-S-S-O-R dot new line I space C-A-N space N-O-T space S-P-E-L space W-E L, L, dot.
So, I've typed a couple lines of text here. If I push up...
This is a test of Icon's word processor.
And if I push down...
I cannot spell well.
So, the up and down keys let you read by lines. If I press left...
Noop, dot, R, O, S, S, E, C.
It's moving left by characters, right...
E, S, S, O, R.
Moves right by characters. If I hold down 0 and press left, it moves left by words.
Word, icon, of, test, A.
And right moves right by words.
Test, of, icons, word, processor.
Holding down 0 and pressing up and down moves by paragraphs. I'm going to move back to the beginning of the document now by pressing menu.
Word processor menu. Select an option 1 file. Alt plus F. 2 edit. 3 navigation.
We'll pick
Alt plus N.
We'll pick navigation.
1 document navigation. 3, go to the start of the document.
And we'll pick go to the start of the document.
At start of document.
And now we're going to spell check the document, because I made a mistake, intentionally. So we'll press menu.
Word processor menu. Select an option 1 file. Alt plus F.
2 for edit.
2. 5 set selection mark.
And
Alt
I happen
plus
to,
N.
And I happen to know spell checks toward the bottom, so I'll just hold down down.
14, read from cursor. 13, check spelling.
And here is check spelling. I'll press select.
Spell S-P-E-L misspelled. One suggestion, spell S-P-E-L-L. Use left and right to change.
And it's correctly found that I misspelled spell with only one L. And it's giving us some suggestions. To move through the suggestions, we can press left and right. I'll press right a few times.
Spell S-P-I-E-L. Spell S-P-E-W. Apple O-P-E-L.
And the first suggestion that it had was the correct one, so to move back to that, I'll just hold down left.
Spell S-P-E-L-L.
And that's the one we want. I'll press down to move through the rest of the choices on this form.
To change. 3 change remaining, 4 ignore once, 5 ignore remaining, 6 add, 7 edit document here.
And that's the last choice, we have several choices. I want to change all the remaining occurrences of it, so I'll just press 3.
3. Spell check complete.
And it has spell checked this document. I don't really want to keep this document, but for the sake of demonstration, I'll save it for you and show you how that works. I'll press menu.
Word processor menu. Select an option 1 file. Alt plus F.
And I'll press select here to open the file menu.
1 save file. Control plus S.
And we want to save, so I'll press select.
Save document form. Select the target directory. Available drives hard drive.
And it's asking us where we want to save this document to. I'll press right
opening.
To open the hard drive. And we'll get a list of folders on the hard drive here.
Hard drive.rss folder.
And I want to save to the documents folder, so I'll type a D.
D decibels folder. Documents folder.
And here's the documents folder. That's where I want to put it. So I'll press select.
Enter the desired file name.
And let's call this demo.
D-E-M-O.
And I'll press OK.
Select file type. Level star document format. .ldf. Use left and right to change.
And we have several choices. The default is level star document format. I'll push left.
Microsoft Word 97/2000/XP. .doc. Rich text format. .rtf. Text.txt.
So those are the choices that we have. Let's save this as RTF. I'll push right.
Rich text format.rtf.
And I'll press select.
Saving. File saved. /media/hdd/documents/demo.rtf.
So the document is now saved. So that's a quick demonstration of the word processor. We're done for now, so I'll press cancel.
The document untitled has not been saved. Are you sure you wish to quit?
And this is the first document we've created when I was demonstrating the various input modes. We don't want to save this, so we'll press OK.
Applications menu.
And we're back to the applications menu. So now I'd like to demonstrate the icons planner for you. And to open it, I'll press 5 for tools.
5. One word processor.
And 2 for planner.
2. Planner. Sunday, January 21st, 2007. 2 appointments this day. Go to bed at 10 o'clock p.m.
So the planner has opened, and it has found that we have 2 appointments for today, So it has put us in appointment view and placed the focus on our next upcoming appointment, which in my case is go to bed at 10 o'clock. And the Icons Planner uses a very interesting and powerful navigation scheme. Right and left move forward and back through the calendar, and up and down control how far they move. So for example, it's put us in appointment view because we have appointments today, so left and right would move by appointments. So if I press left,
get up at 8 o'clock, Ann.
It told me to get up at 8 o'clock. That's the previous appointment for today. If I push it again, I have no more appointments today, so it beeps to indicate that's the first appointment for today. If I want to move around the calendar by days, I can press up.
By days, Sunday, January 21st, 2007.
Now, if I press right,
Monday 22, three appointments this day, get up at 5 o'clock am.
And I press right again,
Tuesday 23, three appointments this day, get up at 5 o'clock am.
If I push left,
Monday 22, three appointments this day, Sunday 21, Saturday 20, Sunday 21, two appointments this day, go to bed at 10 o'clock p.m.
And so on. If I push up again,
by weeks, Sunday, January 21st, 2007.
Now left and right are going to move by weeks. So if I push right,
28, 14 appointments this week, two appointments this day, February 4th, 11, 18, 25, 14 appointments this week, two appointments this day, get up at 8 o'clock am.
It's moving by weeks. So to get quickly back to today's date, I can push left a few times.
8, 14, get up, January 28th, 21, 15 appointments this week, two appointments this day, by days, Sunday, January 21st, 2007.
And I push down to get back to moving by days. So you can see it's very easy to quickly move around your schedule. If you want to know, hey, do I have anything going on 3 months from now, you're literally five or six key presses away from finding out that information. So to make a new appointment, the easiest way is to move to the particular date when you want to schedule the appointment. And so I'm going to do that now. I have a meeting tomorrow morning that I haven't yet added to my planner. So I'm going to move to tomorrow's date by pushing right.
Monday 22, three appointments this day, get up at 5 o'clock am.
And I'm going to push menu.
Planner menu, one add an appointment.
And I'm going to press select to add an appointment.
Enter a new description.
And I'm going to say meet with Chris.
M, 9, oops. 9, E, E, T, space, W, I, T, H, space, C, H, R, I, S.
And I'll press down to move to the next field.
Date, January 22nd, 2007. Enter two digits for the month, two digits for the day, and four digits for the year.
So the date defaults to whatever date we were pointing to on the calendar, which is correct. I'll push down.
Time, 8 o'clock am. Enter two digits for the hour and two digits for the minute. Press the pound key to switch between a.m. and p.m.
And I'm going to meet with Chris at 9, so I'll type 0900.
0900.
I'll push down.
Appointment busy. Yes.
This means, do I want the icon to prevent me from scheduling anything that conflicts with this? I do, so I'll leave that set as it is. I'll push down.
Enter length of appointment, 30 minutes.
30 minutes might not be quite enough. Let's schedule it for 45 minutes. I'll type 4-5.
4-5.
And I'll press down.
Alarm, no alarm. Press select to change.
Every appointment can have an associated alarm, so you can have the icon alert you any specified amount of time before the appointment is to happen that the appointment is on your schedule. And this works even when the icon is turned off. The icon will wake itself up and tell you about the appointment. I want to be notified about this 15 minutes beforehand so I can get ready. So I'll press select.
Select an alarm time. 1, none.
And we have several choices here.
2, custom alarm. 3, same time as appointment. 4, 5 minutes. 5, 10 minutes. 6, 15 minutes.
15 minutes is what we want, so I'll press select.
Alarm 15 minutes. Press select to change.
So we have our alarm set to 15 minutes beforehand. I'll press down.
Appointment repeats. None. Press select to change.
This appointment does not repeat. I'll create one in a minute that does, so we'll leave it. I'll press down.
Attachments. 0 attachments. Press select to change.
The attachments field allows you to attach files to an appointment. I don't have any files to attach to this appointment. So we're done. We filled out the last field on the form. To save it, simply press OK.
Planner. Monday, January 22nd, 2007. Four appointments this day. Get up at 5 o'clock am.
So we now have four appointments for Monday. The appointment has been added, and we will be alerted 15 minutes beforehand that the appointment is on our schedule. I mentioned repeating appointments. I'd like to show you how to create one of those on your schedule. I'll press menu.
Planner menu. One add an appointment.
One for add an appointment.
One. Enter a new description.
We'll just call this one test.
T-E-S-T.
I'll press down.
Date. January 22nd, 2007, enter 2 digits for the month, 2 digits.
That's fine.
8 o'clock AM, enter 2 digits for the hour, and 2 digits for the minute.
We'll just say
430.
4:30 PM.
Number, 4:30 PM.
And press down.
Appointment busy, yes.
And it's busy, yes.
Enter length of appointment, 30 minutes.
30 minutes is fine.
Alarm, no alarm,
and
press select to change.
We'll leave that as none.
Appointment repeats, none, press select to change.
And we want this one to repeat, so I'll press select.
Select how this appointment repeats. 1 none. 2 daily. 3 weekly. 4 monthly. 5 yearly.
And those are the 5 choices that we have. And this is going to repeat every week on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So it repeats weekly.
3 week, 2 daily. 3 weekly.
So press select.
Enter the number of weeks to skip before each repetition. 0.
This allows us to have an appointment occur every other week, but we want it to occur every week, so 0 is correct. I'll push down.
Repeat on Monday, yes.
Now we're in the list of days, and we can select which days we want this appointment to repeat on. It's scheduled to repeat on Monday. We'll arrow past Tuesday.
Repeat on Tuesday, no. Repeat on Wednesday, no.
And we want it to repeat Wednesday, so we'll press select.
Yes.
And we'll push down twice to get to Friday.
Repeat on Friday, no. Yes.
And it's now set to repeat on Friday as well, and we're done. So we'll press OK.
Appointment repeats. Weekly on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday every week. Press select to change.
And we're done. We don't have any other fields to fill out, so we'll press OK to save.
Planner. Monday, January 22nd, 2007. 5 appointments this day. Get up at 5 o'clock am.
Man, Monday's getting busy. It now has 5 appointments. So that's how you create simple appointments as well as repeating appointments on the icon. Incidentally, the icon's planner can be synchronized with Outlook. So we're done with the planner for now, so I'll press cancel.
Applications menu.
The icon has a very good voice recorder, and there are 2 ways you can use it. There's what we call quick record mode, which is for quick recordings. You just want to take down a quick voice note and be done with it. And then there's a mode which allows you a little more control and flexibility. So I'm going to show you both of those now. To make a quick recording, all you do is hold down the voice record button for about a second. The icon will beep, indicating that the recorder is starting, and then we'll say begin recording, and that's your cue to start talking. So I'll do that now. I'll hold down voice record.
Begin recording.
And the icon is now recording, and I'm picking it up so I can talk into it. This is using the icon's internal microphone and a predefined setting for the MP3 encoder. It's 24 kilobits per second mono, and it's using the automatic level control. So if you're sitting in a meeting, this should adjust the levels and make sure that you can hear everybody. So we're done for now, so I'll press cancel.
Okay, finding recordings.
And
recordings
it's
in Flash, 2007-1-20-14-42-10.mp3.
And it's now searched for all the recordings, found them all, and placed us on the recording we just made. So if we want to hear it, we can simply press select.
Audio player.
The icon is now recording, and I'm picking it up so I can talk into it. This is using the icon's internal microphone and a predefined setting for the
recordings in Flash 2007-1-20-14-42-10.mp3.
So I'm done. I don't want to hear that recording again. It wasn't very good. So I have pressed cancel to stop the playback, and we're now back in the list of recordings. If I made this recording and I decide I really don't want to keep it, I can press menu, and there are options to delete or rename it. The name of the file is automatically generated based on the time and date. But in most cases, I probably just want to close the recorder, so I'll press cancel again.
Applications menu.
And we're back to the applications menu. So that's the quick and easy way to make voice recordings on the icon. I'm going to open the voice recorder application now and show you how we can have a little more control over the quality of the recordings and how they're made. So I'm going to push 5 for tools.
5. One word processor.
And 3 for voice recorder.
3. Finding recordings. Recordings in Flash, 2007-1-20-14-42-10.mp3.
So the voice recorder application has opened, and it's presenting 2 lists of voice recordings. It's presenting the list of voice recordings that are on the internal flash disk in the icon, and it's presenting a list of the recordings that are on the icon's hard drive. And you can quickly move between these lists by pressing left and right. Reviewing the list of recordings on the flash disk, if I push left,
recordings on the hard drive 2007-1-9-9-58-16.mp3.
We're viewing now the list of recordings on the hard drive, and I can use up and down to move through them. I'm going to press right to move back to the list of recordings on the flash disk.
Recordings in Flash 2007-1-21.
And I'm going to push menu.
Options menu. 1. Rename recording.
And we have options to rename the recording we're pointing to, or
2. Delete recording.
Delete the recording we're pointing to, or
3. Recording settings.
Recording settings. This allows us to control the various parameters that are used to make the recording. So if I press select, we'll get some options here.
Recording settings. Recording quality voice, medium quality, 24 kbps, 22.05 kHz, mono, use left and right to change.
So we have several presets for the quality of the recording. If I hold down left, we'll get the lowest quality.
Voice, low quality, 16 kbps, 11.025 kHz, mono.
If I hold down right, we'll get the highest quality.
Music, highest quality, 320 kbps, 44.1 kHz, stereo.
And as you'll notice, the recorder records to MP3, and there are various quality settings. I'll push down.
Recording source internal microphone. Use left and right to change.
We can choose between internal microphone or...
External microphone.
External microphone. The icon has a standard 3.5mm stereo microphone jack that we can use. For now, I'll select the internal microphone.
Internal microphone.
I'll press down.
Recording destination hard drive. Use left and right to change.
So we can record either to the hard drive, or...
internal flash disk.
Or...
mini SD card.
The mini SD card. So there are three choices of where to place the recordings when they're made. We'll record to the internal flash disk.
Internal flash disk.
I'll press down.
Recording level 31. Use left and right to change.
And 31 is right in the middle. It goes from 0 to 63, so 31's right in the middle. So we'll just leave it there for now. I'll show you how you can adjust that. So that's the last setting, so to save the new settings, I'll press OK.
Settings saved. Recordings in Flash 2007-1-21-14-42-10.mp3.
And we're back in the list of recordings. Now to start making a new recording, we simply press OK.
Begin recording.
And we're now making a recording with the settings that we just set. And we can adjust the level while we're making the recording by pressing up and down.
32.
If I press up, it's saying 32.
35. 41.
And we're up at 41. And the icon has a vibrate motor inside of it, and it's used to indicate if the recording is clipping. Since you're manually controlling the levels in the recorder, you need some way to know if the recording is clipping. So, for example, if I talk right into the icon, I don't know if you can hear it, I put it right up by the microphone, and it's vibrating every time the recording clips. So I know that I need to turn my volume
34,
back down.
30,
probably
29.
Probably
30, 31.
31 was about right because I'm talking into it now and it's not vibrating, so that means it's not clipping. So that's essentially how the recorder works, and when you're done making the recording, you simply press cancel.
Okay. Recordings in Flash 2007-1-21-14-48-3.mp3.
And we now have the recording. And if I press select, it will begin playing.
Audio player.
We're now making a recording with the settings that we just set. And we can adjust the level while we're making the recording by pressing up and down. If I press up, it's...
So I'll press cancel to stop.
Recordings in Flash 2007-1-21-14-40.
And cancel again.
Applications menu.
Close the recorder, and we're back to the applications menu. So that's a quick demo of the two ways you can use Icon's voice recorder. I'd like to turn now to Icon's Bookshare.org support, which is one of my favorite features. To use the Icon's Bookshare.org support, you'll obviously need a membership to Bookshare.org, which is a $25 sign-up fee and $50 a year. It's well worth it. They have over 30,000 books now and lots of newspapers and periodicals. So the first thing we'll need to do to use Icon's Bookshare.org support is to get connected to the Internet. It's very easy. I'll hold down the button in the top right corner, which turns on the Icon's built-in wireless internet connection.
Wireless on. Scanning for networks. Level star. Secure network. Minus 62 dB. Connecting to level star. Connected to level star. Applications menu.
I just push cancel to put the wireless control panel in the background. We're connected to level star's office network and thereby the internet, so we're ready to go. I'm going to press 3 to get to the library menu.
3. One bookshelf.
And then 3 again to open the Internet Book Search Tool.
3. Internet Book Search. 1. Search for authors.
We have 3 choices here. Search for authors.
2. Search for titles.
Search for titles, or...
3. Browse categories.
Browse categories. Let's browse categories. I'll press select.
Retrieving category list. Categories. Animals.
And now we have a list of all the categories of books available on Bookshare.org. We can use up and down to move through them.
Art and architecture. Biographies and memoirs. Business and finance, children's books, computers and internet, cooking, food and wine, disability related.
And so we have all the various categories. I'm going to press up to move back to business and finance.
Children, business and finance.
And press select.
Searching.
and the icon's now retrieving a list of books in the business and finance category.
Business and finance, the home office and small business answer book. Solutions to the most frequently asked questions about starting and running home offices and small businesses.
That sounds kind of interesting. Let's open the book information, so I'll press menu.
Options menu. One book information.
And when we press select here, we'll get a form containing all the Bookshare information about this book. So I'll press select.
Book information. Synopsis: practical solutions to 900 questions most frequently asked by home office workers and small business owners on the web.
Sounds pretty interesting. We can get more information. I'll press down to move through the items.
Title: the home office and small business answer book. Date added: 2007-01-12. Quality excellent, almost no errors.
That's a pretty useful field, because a lot of the titles available on Bookshare.org are scanned, and so it's useful to know what the quality of the book is, and this one's excellent, so that sounds good. I'm done here. We also have ISBN and a few other pieces of information, the number of pages and the copyright date, etc. We'll press cancel.
Business and finance, the home office and small business answer book. Solutions to the most frequently asked questions about starting and running home offices and small businesses.
I want to download this book. So to download it, I'll press select.
Log in to Bookshare.org. Bookshare.org email address.
So the icon has opened the Bookshare login form, and it's asking me for my Bookshare.org email address. I'll press down to move through the rest of the fields on this form.
Bookshare.org password. Save Bookshare.org password, no.
And this is the field that allows you to save your Bookshare.org password information, so that you don't have to enter it every time you want to access content from Bookshare.org. So I'm going to pause the recording, enter my Bookshare information, and we'll resume. So I've entered my Bookshare.org email address and password. I'm going to press down.
Save Bookshare.org password, no.
And I do want to save my Bookshare.org password, so I'll press select.
Yes.
I'll press OK.
Logging into Bookshare.org. Downloading the home office and small business answer book. Solutions to the most frequently asked questions about starting and running home offices and small businesses.
So it's now downloading the book.
Done.
And it said done. It's now downloaded the book, and it has unpacked it, and it has put it on our hard drive, and cataloged it in our bookshelf, and it's now ready to read. I also like technology books. We're done with the list of books in the business category, so I'll press left.
Categories: business and finance.
And let's arrow down to computers and internet.
Children, computers and internet.
We'll press right to move into that category.
Searching. Computers and Internet Software Requirements, 2nd edition.
And we have the list of books in the Computers and Internet category. The lists of books in a particular category are presented chronologically with the most recently added first. So if you have a particular category of books you like to look at, like I do, like the Computers and Internet category, you can easily see what books are newly added by just opening the category, and if there are new books, you'll see books you haven't seen before. So just for the sake of demonstration, let's download this book. I'll press select.
Downloading software requirements, 2nd edition.
And the icon is now downloading and unpacking that book, and it didn't ask us for my Bookshare.org information because it already knew it.
Done.
And it's done now, downloading and unpacking that book. We can obviously search by author or title. It'll ask us to enter part of an author or a title, and it will present us with a list of books by the particular author or containing the text we entered in the title. But for the sake of brevity, I won't go through that now. To close the Internet Book Search tool, I'll press cancel.
Applications menu.
And I'm going to open the bookshelf now to show you how to read and navigate the books we just downloaded. So I'll press 3 for the library menu.
3-1 bookshelf.
And 1 for bookshelf.
1. Bookshelf. Authors.
We can either view our collection of books sorted by author, or if I press down,
all books,
we can see a list of all the books in our collection, which is what I want. I'll press right.
Books, Bleachers.
And here's Bleachers by John Grisham. Let's read one of the books that we just downloaded. There was one about software requirements, so I'll type in S.
S Software Requirements, 2nd edition.
There we are, and to open it, I'll simply press select.
Opening book. Software Requirements, 2nd edition. Notices required for copyright works distributed in the United.
And I stopped the reading by pressing select, and you'll notice it said United again, which is the last word it was speaking when I pressed select. And the cursor is indeed on that word. So if I press right,
N-I-T-E-D,
or left,
E-T-I-N-U,
I can move by characters. If I press down,
copyright ownership and legal Bookshare.org digital material which govern your lawful use of it.
I'm moving down by lines if I push up.
Copyright ownership and legal. The information which follows is important since it describes the...
I'm moving up by lines. And I can also navigate the book based on its daisy navigation. And to do that, I need to switch the keypad into ABC mode.
Keypad mode ABC.
And then press pound.
Number. Navigation. Software requirements. Second edition.
And I'll push down to move through the navigation view.
1, 2, 3, 4.
And these are obviously the pages of the book. Well, let's start at page 1.
2, 1.
I'll press select.
1 published by Microsoft Press, a division of Microsoft Corporation. 1 Microsoft Way.
And I pressed select to stop the reading. So you can see it's very easy to download books from Bookshare.org and read and navigate them once you've downloaded them. I'm going to close this book now by pressing cancel.
Books, software requirements, second edition.
And one more thing I'd like to show you is that the icon remembers your position in books you're reading. So if I reopen this book, it'll begin reading where we last left off.
Opening book. One Microsoft Way. Redmond, Washington, 98052-6399.
Press select.
98052-6399.
Stop the reading, and we'll close the book again by pressing cancel.
Book software requirements, second edition.
And I'll press cancel one more time to close the bookshelf.
Applications menu.
Now I'd like to show you how to subscribe to and read newspapers and periodicals which are available on Bookshare.org. And to do that, I'm going to open the newsstand. So I'll press 3 for library menu.
3. 1 bookshelf.
And 2 for newsstand.
2. Newsstand. Periodicals empty list.
And we are in the empty list of periodicals because we're not subscribed to any at the moment. So to subscribe to a few periodicals, I'm going to push menu.
Options menu. 3 check for new issues.
And
4 subscribe to a periodical.
That's the one I want, so I'll press select.
Logging into Bookshare.org. Bookshare.org periodicals Aberdeen American News.
And to make things quicker, I'm going to switch to Braille mode here.
Keypad mode thumb grip.
And I will type DE for Denver Post.
DE Denver Post.
And I'll press select to subscribe.
How long would you like to keep back issues? Enter 0 to keep them forever. 0.
0 is fine, so I'll press OK to subscribe.
Subscribed. Bookshare.org periodicals Denver Post.
I also want to subscribe to the Rocky Mountain News, so I'll type
RO. Rocky Mountain News.
Select.
How long would you like to keep back issues?
OK.
Subscribed. Bookshare.org periodicals Rocky Mountain News.
And Wall Street Journal, W.
Wall Street Journal.
Select.
How long would you like
okay.
to keep... Subscribed. Bookshare.org periodicals Wall Street Journal.
And let's do the USA Today, too. So U.
U. USA Today.
That's good. Select.
How long would you like to keep back issues?
Okay.
Subscribed. Bookshare.org periodicals USA Today.
I suppose that's enough for now. We're done, so I'll press cancel.
Periodicals. Denver Post subscribed.
And now we're in the list of periodicals to which we're subscribed. So we have Denver Post.
Rocky Mountain News subscribed. USA Today subscribed. Wall Street Journal subscribed.
And we can use up and down to move through those. So now we have a list of all the periodicals to which we're subscribed. Let's tell the icon to go off and grab all the new issues of those periodicals which we don't have. I'll press menu.
Options menu. 2 unsubscribe from Wall Street Journal. 3 check for new issues.
And 3 is check for new issues, so I'll press select.
Downloading new issues, periodicals Wall Street Journal, subscribed.
And right now the icon is going to Bookshare.org, asking it what issues are new for all the periodicals to which we're subscribed, downloading those issues, and unpacking them. So it could take a while. We're subscribed to, I guess, what, 4 papers?
Download complete. Periodicals Wall Street Journal subscribed.
And I didn't do any editing, so that's actually how long it took. And it's done. So the idea here is that you can subscribe to all the periodicals which you're interested in, and in the morning press a few buttons and have the icon go off and retrieve all the latest editions of those periodicals so you can read them when you're on the bus or wherever. So now we can read any of these papers. Let's see what today's Wall Street Journal has in it. We're pointing to Wall Street Journal right now, so I'll push right.
Wall Street Journal 121-2007.
And there's today's edition, so to open it, I'll press select.
Opening periodical. Navigation. APOS, S News 14 subsections.
And we're placed directly in the navigation of the list of sections in the paper, and we can also get to the articles this way. So let's arrow through the sections. I'll press down.
Columns, 2 subsections. Taxes, 2 subsections. Leisure and Weekend Journal, 8 subsections.
So those are all the main sections. Tax season is coming up, so let's see what they have in taxes.
Taxes, 2 subsections.
I'll press right to move into the list of articles in that section.
Bush calls for tax code reform to ease healthcare costs.
And I'll push down.
Update : Bush urges tax code reform to ease healthcare costs.
Let's go back up.
Bush calls for tax code reform to ease healthcare costs.
And to read that article, I simply press select.
Taxes: Bush calls for tax code reform to ease healthcare costs. Bush calls for tax code reform to ease healthcare costs. By Henry J. Pelizzi of Dow Jones Newswires. Washington, Dow Jones, previewing a major new domestic policy initiative, President George W. Bush said he wants to change the U.S. tax code to bring private health insurance within.
So I pressed select to stop the reading, and it's placed our cursor on the word within. Don't really want to finish this article, so I'll press cancel to move back to the navigation.
Navigation: Bush calls for tax code reform to ease healthcare costs.
And I'll press left to move back to the list of sections.
Taxes, 2 subsections.
We'll find something else to read. I'll push up.
Columns, 2 subsections.
Let's see what's in columns. I'll press right to move into that section and see what articles are in there.
Cleaning house. Do we have to do it?
And down again.
Getting more of what the markets give.
Let's take a look at that article, so I'll press select.
Getting more of what the markets give. Getting more of what the markets give. By Jonathan Clements. The markets give, but investors often don't receive. It is one of the great financial puzzles. Most years.
So I press select to stop the reading. So that's an idea of how you can quickly download, open, and navigate various issues of the periodicals in which you're interested in. To move back to the navigation, I'll press cancel.
Navigation: Getting more of what the markets give.
To move back to the list of issues of the Wall Street Journal, I'll press cancel again.
Wall Street Journal 121, 2007.
And then to close the newsstand altogether, I'll press cancel one more time.
Applications menu.
And we're back to the applications menu. So now I'd like to move on to some of the other internet-related applications in the icon, and we'll start with the web browser. So to get to that, I'll press 4 for the internet menu.
4. One web browser.
And 1 for the web browser. And the icon's web browser is loading. And right now, the start page for the icon's web browser is the section of the icon user's manual that references the web browser.
Loading. Loading. Icon User's Manual, Web Browser.
So, the web browser is now loaded. I like to use the icon's web browser to check the weather, so I'm going to open the W Underground site now by pressing Menu.
Options Menu. 1. Go to URL.
We'll press 1.
1. Enter URL.
The address is Braille.
B-R-A-I-L-L-E.
Dot.
Dot.
W Underground.
W-U-N-D-E-R-G-R-O-U-N-D.
Dot com.
Dot. C-O-M.
And I'll push OK.
Loading page. Loading. Weather Underground Braille page. Find the weather for any.
And the page is loaded. The icon has several ways to navigate a web page. 1 and 3 move backward and forward by headings. 4 and 6 move backward and forward by links. And 7 and 9 move backward and forward by form controls. So the Weather Underground page will provide us with the weather for our particular city or zip code, and we need to fill that in. So I'll press 9 to move to the first form field.
9. Edit.
And it wants a zip code, so I'll type my zip code.
80027.
And I'll push down.
Button Fast Forecast.
And here's Fast Forecast. So I'll press OK.
Loading. Weather Underground Rail page, Louisville, Colorado, 80027. Conditions and forecast.
And
forecast as of 3:03 p.m. MST on January 21st, 2007.
And it has opened the page. And to start continuously reading the page, I'll simply press select.
Forecast as of 3:03 p.m. MST on January 21st, 2007. Now, the latest winter storm will begin to abate late this afternoon from north to south across the area. Snow was rapidly decreasing from Fort Collins and Greeley southward into the northern suburbs of Denver.
Press
the heavier
select.
Snow.
To stop the reading. So now I'd like to briefly demonstrate the icon's email program. And to open the email program, I'll push Applications.
Applications menu.
I'll press 4 for the internet menu.
4. One web browser.
And 2 for email.
2. Inbox. Jenny Axler, sorry about that. January 21st, 2007, 3:21 p.m.
The email program is now open, and I'm in my inbox, and the icon read the header of the first message in my inbox, which is a message from one of our beta testers. To retrieve all my new email, I'll simply press Menu.
Email Menu. 1. Send and receive.
And then I'll press Select on Send and Receive.
Sending and receiving mail. Inbox. Jenny Axler, sorry about that. January 21st, 2007, 3:21 p.m.
And the icon is retrieving my email in the background, but I could still move up and down this list.
Asterisk PPX. Joshua Amy L. Date. Asterisk. Jenny Axler, sorry about that. January 21st, 2007, 3:21 p.m.
And I can open and read messages while email is being downloaded, and we'll get a notification sound when the icon has downloaded all of my email. And there it is. So all of the email has now been downloaded. If I press status twice,
in email, 50 new messages.
It says I have 50 new messages. To get to the list of folders in Icon's email program, I'll press left.
Folder list, inbox.
And now we're in the list of Icon's email folders. I'm subscribed to the SpeakUp mailing list, which is a mailing list devoted to the Linux screen reader called SpeakUp, which is included in the icon. To move to it, I'll type S.
S sent mail.
And P.
P. SpeakUp.
And here we are at SpeakUp. I'll push right to open it.
Opening SpeakUp. SpeakUp. Jute-ELFC6 software selection question January 19, 2007, 3:52 a.m.
And here's a message from that list. To open it, I'll press select.
Message. I remember with FC3 the recommended choice was to select everything in terms of software to install. Does this recommendation still hold for FC6? If so, I may be able to select.
So I press select to stop. If I want to reply to this message, I'll push menu.
Email menu. 1. Send and receive. 2. Empty trash. 3. Reply.
And I'll press select on reply.
New message.
And it's created a new message for us. One of the things that makes Icon's email program unique is that we support multiple voices so that you can easily and effectively inline reply to email messages. So as I arrow around the original text of the message that I'm replying to, you'll hear it spoken in a different voice.
Land. I remember with FC3 the recommended choice was to select everything in terms of software to install. Does this recommendation still hold for FC6? C.
So that he's asking a question, and let's say I wanted to answer it. I'm going to move to the end of that sentence.
FC6. Question. Space.
And I'm going space. To...
New line.
So I created a couple of new lines to space off my reply, and I'm going to type yes, I think so.
Y-E-S, comma, space, I, space, space.
I mean, oops, I typed two spaces, so I deleted one there.
T-H-I-N-K, space, S-O, dot, new line.
So now if I arrow back through the message, you'll hear the text that I've written in the normal voice and the text that I'm replying to in another voice.
Land. Yes, I think so. Land. FC6. Terms of SOP. I remember. Land.
And so, if I press select to read the message, you'll hear the conversation.
I remember with FC3 the recommended choice was to select everything in terms of software to install. Does this recommendation still hold for FC6?
Yes, I think so.
If so, I may be able to select custom from packages.
So that is a demonstration of how easily you can inline reply with Icon because of its multiple voice support in email. I don't want to send this message. I want to cancel it, so I'll press cancel.
SpeakUp. Jute-ELFC6 software selection question January 19, 2007, 3:52 a.m.
And we are back in the list of messages in the SpeakUp folder. That's a very brief demonstration of the Icon's email program. I'll close it now by pressing cancel.
Applications menu.
And we're back at the applications menu. I'm going to give you a quick demonstration of the Icon's music player. And with the 30GB hard drive, you can literally store thousands of songs in the Icon, right in the palm of your hand. The Icon's music player is always 2 keystrokes away. To get to it, you'll simply press Applications.
Applications menu.
And then 2 for music player.
Music player. 1 songs. Music catalog updated.
And we're now in the music player. The icon presents several views of your music collection. You can use up and down to move through them. You can obviously view your collection by songs, or
2 artists.
Artists, or
3 albums.
Albums, or
4 genres.
Genres. The last item on the list is
5 playlists.
Playlist. You can also create playlists. So let's view the list of artists in our music collection. I'll push 2.
2. Artists, Beach Boys.
And here's the list of artists whose songs are on this icon. So we have Beach Boys, and I'll use down to move through the list.
Beatles. Billy Joel, Johnny Cash, Newcomers Home, Nora Jones, Patsy Cline, Steely Dan, Stevie Wonder.
And we get the beep indicating that Stevie Wonder is the last item in the list. I want to play some music by Nora Jones, and to get back to her, I can push up a few times, or I can just start typing her name. So I'll type N.
And newcomers home.
Oh,
Nora Jones.
And here we are on Nora Jones. I'll press select to open the list of songs by Nora Jones.
Songs by Nora Jones, play all.
And the first item in the list is play all. When the icon presents you with a list of songs, the first option is always play all. So if you just want to play all the songs in the current list, you select this item, and the icon will begin playing all the songs in the list. Or you can press down to move through the list. I'll do that now.
Cold, cold heart, come away with me. Don't know why. Feeling the same way. I've got to see you again.
So I can play any of these individual songs by Nora Jones. I want to start playing all of her songs, so I'll hold down up to move to the top of the list.
Play all.
And press select to start the audio player.
Audio player.
Lone Star, where are...
And I press select to pause. So now the icon is playing all of the songs by Nora Jones in my icon. I have several navigation keys available at this point. I can press right to move forward in the list. I can press left to move back. As I just demonstrated, I can push select to start or stop playing. And I have several time-based navigation keys. 3 and 1 move forward and back by 10 seconds. 6 and 4 move forward and back by 1 minute. And 9 and 7 move forward and back by 10 minutes. It's not so useful when playing songs, but it's extremely useful when playing long podcasts or audiobooks. It's also worth noting here that the icon has a separate music player and speech volume. So, for example, if I restart the music player, I can turn down the music volume separate from the speech. So I'll do that now. So now, for example, if I wanted to go do something else, I can push menu.
Applications menu.
And push 5.
5. One word processor.
And we'll
one.
Go work in the word processor a little bit.
Untitled.
And I can type in the word processor.
T-H-I-S space I-S space A space T-E-T 6.
Oops.
T-S-T dot.
This is a test. So I'm working in the word processor with some nice Nora Jones music in the background. I don't want to save this word processing document now, so I'll press cancel.
The document untitled has not been saved. Are you sure you wish to quit?
I do.
Applications menu.
I'll push 2 to return to the media player here.
2. Music player. Audio player.
And we're here in the list of... And we're back here in the audio player playing songs by Nora Jones. I'll close the audio player by pressing cancel.
Songs by Nora Jones, play all.
And we're back in the list of songs by Nora Jones. I'll now quickly show you how to create playlists in the icon. It's very simple. If you want to create a playlist, you simply point to what you want to add to the playlist, and the option to add it will be in the menu. So, for example, if I want to add all the songs by Nora Jones to a playlist, I'll simply press left to get back to the list of artists.
Artists Nora Jones.
I'm pointing to Nora Jones now, so I'll press menu.
Music player menu. One shuffle off. To add this artist to a playlist.
And here's add this artist to a playlist. I'll press select.
Add to what playlist? See.
And I have a playlist called C. That's not the one I want to add all of Nora Jones' songs to. I want to create a new playlist. So to do that, I'll push menu.
Music player menu. To new playlist.
Here's new playlist. I'll press select.
Enter a name for this playlist.
We'll call this Nora.
N-O-R-A-H.
Press OK.
Add to what playlist? C. Demo. Mark. Nora.
And here's Nora. I press down to get to it. I'll press select.
Okay, artists Nora Jones.
And now all of the songs by Nora Jones in my collection have been added to a playlist called Nora. And if I want to start playing all of those songs, I'll press left to get back to the list of media views.
1 songs.
5 for playlists.
5, playlists, C.
I'll type N for Nora.
N, Nora.
There's Nora, I'll press select.
Tracks and Nora play all.
And I'll press select again to play all the tracks.
Audio player.
I'll press cancel to close the audio player.
Tracks and Nora play all.
And cancel one more time to close the music player.
Applications menu.
Well, we're out of time. I would sincerely like to thank all the folks at ACB Radio and Main Menu for inviting us to do this presentation, and to thank you for listening. If you want more information about the icon or Level Star or anything that I've talked about in this presentation, you can visit our website at www.levelstar.com. You can email us at info@levelstar.com, or you can call us at 303-926-4334, or toll-free at 1-800-315-2305. You can also subscribe to our new podcast called On the Level by pointing your podcatcher at levelstar.libsyn.com/RSS. That's levelstar.libsyn.com/RSS. If you're interested in purchasing the icon, we have a limited time offer available called the Early Bird Special, which includes an extra year of hardware support, an extra year of software support, an additional $50 off a Braille or QWERTY docking station when available, and a free 1GB mini SD card. Again, for more information, the website address is www.levelstar.com.
Welcome to ACB Radio's Main Menu Live. Opinions expressed during the show do not reflect the views of ACB Radio or the American Council of the Blind, its members, employees, or board of directors. If you would like to participate in the live show at 2 hours Universal on Wednesdays, please call toll-free 866-400-5333. That's 866-400-5333.
Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, depending on where you are listening here on ACB Radio's Mainstream, and welcome to the first edition of Main Menu Live. And if I can talk tonight, that would be even better. And many of the people who will be here tonight joining me definitely know how sometimes I can get definitely tongue-tied. Tonight joining me, we have my co-host Daryl Shandro. Hello, Daryl.
Hello, good evening, everyone.
Good evening. And we have our guest tonight, Mark Mulcahy. Hello, Mark.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir. And we have two of my very close friends, Randy Knapp. Hello, Randy.
Good evening.
Good evening. And Don Barrett. Hello, Don.
Hi there, Jeff, and everybody else who's listening.
Hello. All right. Well, tonight, what I wanted to do was give all of you that are listening tonight an opportunity to call in and talk with Mark Mulcahy all about the icon. The number again is 866-400-5333, 866-400-JEFF, if you'd like to call in and ask any questions tonight. Now, Mark, one of the questions that I had about this this unit was how flexible it is in reference to installing other Linux-based applications, and how accessible those applications would be running on the icon.
So we have, there's sort of two answers to that. We have, as I mentioned in the presentation, we have SpeakUp built into the icon, which is a console screen reader. So if you can build a command line Linux application, you can install it on the icon, and we have some examples running, here of for example the Zork interpreter, so you can run the text adventure games and that sort of thing. We don't yet have the GNOME accessibility infrastructure all plugged in, although that's kind of something we've thought about. We also have a developer website that the folks at APH have started. We have an example Sudoku game up there and all the source code for it. So not only can you can you take standard console Linux applications and make them work on the icon, but we're also very interested and making the first steps in supporting people in developing applications for icon. We have a presentation on all about that coming up at CSUN.
So. Oh, great. Hey, guess what? We have our first caller, and I think I know who it may be. Hello, caller, and welcome to Main Menu Live.
Well, hi, Jeff and Daryl and everybody.
Hey, Tina, how's it going?
From still snowy Colorado.
Still snowy Colorado. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, how can we help you tonight, Tina?
Well, I would say that was a fascinating demo. I listened to the stuff up on the Levelstar website, and that was a bit more comprehensive tonight than the, some of the files on there, so I was getting quite an education. I thought it was an awesome demo.
Well, thank you.
A friend of mine expressed concern when I frantically called her in the middle of the demo to describe about the thumb braille keyboard input method. And because you're using your, well, I think she said that it would be terribly confusing because you'd be using your index fingers for the bottom dots of the cell versus using your, using them for the top dots of the cell like you would on a Perkins-style keyboard. And so would there in the future maybe be some sort of way to remap keys to a user's preferred, mind scheme of how they want to input the Braille?
Yes, in fact, that was one of the first things that one of our beta testers said to us. Why is it that way? It should be reversed. So, yeah, we're looking at that.
Because actually, I like the way that you did it, because I guess it's more spatial.
Yeah, we designed it. It's kind of spatial, yeah, the way it is now. Yeah. Yeah.
But then when I talked to my friend about it, she was like, oh, my God, why did they do that? But anyway, so I'm glad that that's been talked about, because I was trying to sort of talk her into getting one of these.
Yeah, that'd be great.
You know, because I think that it would meet a lot of her needs that she's been looking to meet with a portable device.
Absolutely.
Also, does it deal with the WMA files in terms of, like,
DRM.
DRM files from, say, like, the Library of Congress's beta test website where you can download audiobooks?
Right now, we're only supporting MP3 and Ogg Vorbis and WAV files. A lot of folks have asked about WMA, and it's obviously something that we want to do, but I don't have any ETA on it, you know, when it might be available.
Mark, is there,
is
there anything even available on Linux that supports the W? Okay, there is. Okay.
Yep.
Okay, good. So I wasn't even sure if there was or not. So
yep.
And can you actually get to a Linux prompt on that?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, you hacker, you, Tina. All right, we're going to let you go.
I was thinking, wow, that'd be fun.
Yeah, you may be sending it back in. All right, Tina, we're going to let you go so we can get more callers in tonight, since we do only have an hour tonight, but we definitely want to thank you for calling in. Sure, thank you, Tina, for calling. 866-400-5333, 866-400-JEFF. Don, on the Bookport list, I noticed a message from you concerning the new Bookport. And there seems to be some discussion going around about whether the Levelstar is going to replace. There's a new Bookport, obviously, coming from American Printing House, and there seems to be some questions about whether or not the new Bookport is going to be based on the Levelstar. And Mark, I'm wondering if you can put any truth to those rumors.
Well, I can't speak for APH, so I'll say that first off. So I'm speaking for Levelstar, and they're two totally separate products.
Okay, good. Because there's quite a bit of a lively discussion over on the Bookport list, and it would be kind of interesting to find out.
Yeah, somebody on the list did say from APH that they were two separate. It is kind of confusing, because when APH, you know, is working on two different products, you wonder where do they merge and that kind of thing. And especially with the new Bookport coming out, I think some people were afraid that the one would subsume the other, so to speak. But I think they're definitely, as I understand it, at least two separate tracks, which is a good thing. You know, a low-end device and a high-end device. And,
yeah, exactly.
To meet everybody's needs. I think it's great.
Absolutely. We have another caller. Hello, caller, and welcome to Main Menu Live.
Hello, Jeff.
Hello there. Who is this?
Matthew Dyer. This is Matthew Dyer from Canton, Ohio.
Oh, hello, Matthew. Tonight. How's it going?
Pretty good.
Good.
I did have a question regarding manuals. I didn't know on the icon. I was wondering, because I was on the website, and I checked out a few of the actual audio files. But I was kind of curious as to know if there was a text version of the manual on the website, and I didn't see one last time I looked.
We don't have a text version of the manual, and I will write that as a note for something to do here. So the manual comes on the CD included with the icon in HTML format. It's also installed on the icon itself in HTML format. And the icon also comes with a quick start guide in Braille, print, and on the audio CD.
Right. Okay.
But I'll make sure that we get a copy of the manual up on the website.
All right. Great.
All right. Cool.
Thank you very much for calling in, and we thank you for listening tonight, Matt.
I'm very glad to be listening. This format is really cool. I really enjoy it.
Well, thank you very much, and we'll be bringing it to you a lot more this year. So stay tuned for that.
All right. That's good to hear.
All right. Take
care.
All
right. Thank you.
Uh-huh. 866-400-JEFF, 866-400-5333. Donna, Randy.
How did you get your own phone number?
Oh, you. It's called pay. It's called putting up money.
All right.
It's called, you know, putting out the dollar bills for it.
There you go.
You know, Jeff, anything that costs you money makes us all very happy.
Oh, okay. Yes, Randy. Yes, absolutely. we have yet another caller here, and let's bring the caller on. Hello, caller, and welcome to Main Menu Live.
Well, first of all, Jeff Bishop, congratulations on this wonderful format. This is Marlena.
Hello, Marlena.
Hello, Marlena.
As the person who tries to do management of mainstream, I am just delighted, and ACB Radio is much the better for having this format and all these wonderful guests. I'd like to talk to Mark for just a second.
Sure.
And first, I want to tell you, Mark, that Michael in your office is just fabulous. I have been asking, just peppering him with questions over the last 2 days, and they are responded to almost immediately after I hit the send button, and that just gives me a tremendous amount of confidence. He's just a great person.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. I've been kind of watching the icon since you and I met briefly at CSUN last year, and I really am just very impressed. And I want to urge that you consider the new NLS standard. I think that the device that allows a blind person to do Bookshare, that allows a blind person to do Audible, and that also allows a blind person to download the NLS books will be the device that is queen, notice I didn't say king, of the heat. And I really hope that you're looking at that. And I just wondered, I understand that Braille, grade 2 is coming. And I wondered what kind of translator you will be using, or do you even know yet?
Well, the translator is coming from APH, so it's the same one used. Yeah.
Okay.
It's the same one that's used in the bookport.
Okay.
Stuff, yeah.
And are there any thoughts in the future toward having Braille output of any sort?
Yeah, we've talked about that, and it seems clear that, you know, we have to do Braille output in some form, and I'm a big proponent of Braille, so I think it's a big deal. It's unclear to me how we're going to go about it. Probably at this point, probably what it's going to be is Bluetooth support of some Braille display. You know, but right now I don't know. I mean, maybe we'll decide it's worth making a Braille docking station or something. I just don't know at this point. But yes, Braille output is important to me, and is definitely on our roadmap and is important to us.
Okay, and then my last question, and then Jeff, I'm going to hang up.
Okay, good.
Boy, I had a hard time
not that through. We don't want to let you go, but we have a little time.
Right, right, yeah, good. Hang up, Marlene.
My last question
is, will you be taking orders at CSUN?
Yes, I mean, I think if we can, we will, yep.
Can we walk away with it at CSUN?
Can we take yours?
Can we take yours?
Yeah, you can't have mine. You have to pry it from my cold, dead hands.
Watch out, Mark. We have our ways here on ACB Radio.
We have ways. I think so. Yes, I think we plan to take orders and sell at CSUN if they'll let us. I mean, some of these shows don't let you, but I think CSUN does let you sell.
Well,
I think they do. All right, I'm going to hang up, Mark. Congratulations on what I think is a fabulous product. And, Jeff, way to go with Main Menu. And I'm going to hang up now and let everybody else call.
All right, thank you,
Marlena,
for calling in.
Bye, Marlena.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
All right, 866-400-5333, 866-400-JEFF. And I wanted to give Daryl, Don, or Randy an opportunity to ask any questions. You guys got any for Mark?
Yeah, and I apologize, Mark, if this is sort of redundant in asking this, but I got involved here late, so I didn't get to hear all of the demonstration that you did earlier. But in terms of streaming formats, what formats will you be supporting in that regard?
In as far as internet streams?
Yes.
Right now, we unofficially support MP3 streaming, although we haven't hooked it up all the way into the browser. But for example, if you download PLS files onto the hard drive of the icon, you can select them from File Explorer and do MP3 streaming. We'll support streaming of whatever formats we support. So right now, potentially that's MP3 and Vorba streams.
Okay.
Hold on, Daryl. We have a caller. Hello, caller. Welcome to Main Menu Live.
Hi, is that Jeff?
It is.
This is Lisa Hall in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Hello, Lisa. How are you tonight?
I'm doing all right. I'm just enjoying the demonstration of the icon.
Great.
I heard about it last year through a couple of podcasts.
Sure.
Through Larry's KuCon and a couple of other things that have been going on at CSUN last year. And I'm a big supporter of Braille. And I highly recommend that that the developer do seriously consider finding ways to have Braille as an access medium for those who are deaf blind, who might can be able to utilize this type of equipment since it is small and compact.
Yeah, that's a very, very good point. And it'll be interesting to see what... Now, Mark, are you planning on, I know, you know, Braille is a little bit ways off, but are you planning on trying to maybe, you know, partner with somebody to distribute a Braille display along with it? Or what do you think your plans will be in that area?
I think it's really too early to say. You know, we're open to options, so that's about all I can say at this point.
Sure, of course. Okay. All right, anything else,
Liz? Would you have the option if someone already has a Braille display and they want to use it with the icon, would that be a possible using a third-party Braille display, provided that we have the appropriate drivers?
I think it would depend on whether or not that Braille display supported Bluetooth, right, Mark?
Right. I mean, I guess potentially we could also support USB Bluetooth or a USB Braille displays, rather. But I think it's too. You know, I don't want to sit here and say, okay, you know, if you have this Braille display, you know, the icon's going to support it, because I just don't know.
Well, I have an old VersaBraille 2 Classic. That's about 15.
No, the answer is no.
No. we gotta do something about this literacy rate that we have with blind people. Only 10% of blind people reading Braille.
Yeah, that's definitely a big problem, Lisa.
Yep.
Okay, Lisa, thank you very much for calling, and we're going to let you go.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. 866-400, as I turn around and punch keys on the keyboard, 866-400-5333. Yeah, I have that and a VersaBraille printer in my closet, which weighs probably 100 pounds, and I think two or three of the cells are out. And I would ship it to somebody, but it would probably cost me $100 to ship it. So it's a good paperweight.
Well, you can do free matter for the blind, you know.
Oh, I could. Yeah, it's coming up with the box for it. That thing is huge. Okay, Daryl, you had a question.
Yeah, I noticed that I was going to talk about network connectivity. I noticed that it apparently has built-in wireless, and I noticed an interesting signal strength indicator that said minus 62 dB. And do you have, I'd be interested in knowing a little bit more about how that works, and then as far as what wireless networks you can connect with, and also does it have a built-in Ethernet port, does it have a modem, what kind of connectivity are we talking about, Mark?
So the icon has built-in 802.11b Wi-Fi, and as you noticed in the we tried to make it as easy and straightforward as possible to connect to wireless networks. So essentially you turn it on, you get a list of everything that's around you, and if the icon recognizes a network you've already connected to and entered the security key or whatever, it'll automatically attempt to connect to it. And you get signal strength on all of the networks that are in the vicinity, and they're sorted by signal strength. So the ones that are the strongest are at the top. As far as other Oh, and as far as what networks you can connect to, right now we're supporting, obviously, open networks and WEP networks. WPA is coming. We know it can work, but we just don't have it all hooked up yet. But it'll be probably in the April time frame, I would imagine.
Mark, just one second. I just wanted to interrupt you just real quick. We have a caller here, but I'm going to ask the caller to turn down their computer speakers because we're getting a little bit of an echo. And as soon as Mark is done answering Daryl's question, then we'll bring the caller in, okay? Sorry for interrupting there, Mark. Go right ahead.
Hey, no problem. So as far as other network connectivity, Daryl, on the docking station, we have a built-in 10BASE-T Ethernet port and a dial-up modem. Really, the idea with the Icon was to make it as portable as possible, but then give you all the connectivity and a bigger keyboard in the docking station form factor.
Oh, I see. So the Ethernet port would be in the docking station?
Right.
And would there be a modem as well?
Yep, there's a modem in the docking station as well, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Now, how big is the docking station exactly?
You know, I don't have specs right in front of me, but it's roughly 7 inches deep by 12 inches wide by, I think it's like an inch and a half or a little more thick. And that's folded up. It has like a fold-out wrist rest in the front, so it puts everything at the right angle for typing if you can do a lot of typing. And I think that adds maybe an inch and a half to it if you have it folded out, but you don't have to have it folded out. So that's roughly the
dimension. All right, guys, help me because I'm horrible at measurements. So what would that be like, the size of something? That'd be like a... Don? You're good at measurement.
Well, I was going to say a 12-inch ruler, but does that help you any?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, but I'm just trying to give it, you know, some, you know,
like,
is it...
Yeah, you know, if,
So how does it compare to a Pac-Mate?
Yeah, that's probably a really good...
It'd be in that same range.
Okay. Let's bring the caller in and welcome them to Main Menu Live. Hello, caller, and welcome.
Hi there, this is Michael Gorin. How are you? And I'm glad to hear you have some of my old friends on tonight. Hey, Randy and Don.
How you doing?
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Great
boy,
to hear your
time.
Voices. Goodness, last time I talked to you, Randy, I was fighting one of my several cancers.
Right.
I'm excited about this product. I think it's gonna, if it goes the way it seems like it's going, it's going to blow a lot of things out of the water. My first question is not, to me it's very exciting, is will it be able to do Audible?
We've submitted all the paperwork we have to submit, and it's the ball's in Audible's court right now, we hope so.
And the second question is more for fun, although I guess Audible's fun too. You talked about having the interpreter for the Zork games, which I think is awesome, because I used to play them constantly when I was having nothing else to do, I suppose. How does one get the games on unit? And what, what type of form would they have to be in?
Well, right now, we don't have, it's, the Zork interpreter is not officially in the, you know, on the Icon, that, you know, the software that we ship on it, but it is possible. We haven't really gone real far down that road. I expect we'll know more and be able to tell you more in the CSUN time frame when we...
I thought you talked about it on the demo.
I mentioned it earlier here on the phone, and we've, the guys down at APH have installed it and played with it and know it works.
So that's what Larry does. So Larry's playing Zork at the office.
No, you can thank those guys for the most excellent RSS reader and all the good Braille support coming, and they've done a ton of work, and it's been a really great collaboration. I haven't had a chance to talk much about it, but that's been a great collaboration.
I have one more question. It seems like there is a relationship between Level Star and APH. My question is, to the degree that you can say, what are you guys doing together?
I think he had to kill you, Mike.
Yeah, probably
well,
would have
okay.
to.
I've been there before.
go ahead, Mike.
You really can't say right now, is that what you're saying?
Well, I can't obviously talk about details, but, you know, we're manufacturing the the Level Star Icon Braille Plus for them, and we're collaborating on some software, and that's I think as detailed as I can be.
Well, I just want to thank you for an exciting new product, and Jeff, I want to thank you for this format. I think its time has come for sure. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Mike. I appreciate that.
Thanks, Mike.
God bless all of you.
God bless you, Mike. Take care. All right. 866-400 Jeff, 866-400-5333. And let's see. Now, Don, did you have any questions?
No, I just wanted to comment in thinking about the Braille support. You know, when you hit all six dots on a Perkins Brailler, you get the word for, F-O-R,
mm-hmm.
and that's in the exact configuration, Mark, that you were demonstrating that the keys are in on the telephone pad, and that actually makes a lot of sense. And if people just think about dots 1, 2, and 3 going down the left and 4, 5, 6 going down the right, that's really what that thumb braille looks like on the phone pad, and I think it really ports over very, very well.
Yeah,
very intuitive.
Yeah, from the descriptions that, you know, and I've heard two or three presentations now all about the icon and thank you, Brian. Oh, we have another caller here. Let me quickly get over there. We were closing a window because a little stuffy in here, but now we have traffic outside. Okay, well, I'll come back to my point in just a minute. We have a caller. Hello, caller. Welcome to Main Menu Live.
Hello.
Hello, caller.
Yes, I'm Jan Sturban.
Hello.
Hello. I just want to say that it was a very nice demo, and I'm excited about the new format on Main Menu.
Well, thank you. We're excited about it, too.
Yes, and I wanted to say hello to Randy.
Hi, Jan. It's been a long time. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm hanging. We'll have to talk sometime. I'm glad to hear from you.
Randy and Don will be back in February, so you'll be able to call and harass them then, too.
Oh, I will. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I had a question. I got in a few minutes late on the demo, so are you allowed to say that what the icon is going to cost to purchase it?
Yeah, the icon handheld device is $1,395 U.S., and the docking stations, when they're available, are $395 U.S.
All right.
$395 U.S.
Okay, well, thank you very much, and very good show this evening, and
well,
I'll hang
you.
Up and let someone else call.
All right,
welcome
great.
To the show,
great.
Dan.
All
thank
right.
you.
Uh-huh, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We have just a couple more minutes left with Mark because we want to bring Stephen Guerra on briefly to talk a little bit about his product tonight as well. So if you have any more questions for Mark, do get them in quickly here at 866-400-JEFF, 866-400-5333. And Mark, we want to have you back to just talk tech, too.
I'd love to.
Yeah,
that would be so much fun.
Yeah, it'd be kind of fun just to talk technology and
talk about the old days.
I'd love
Windows
to do that.
Creators.
Yeah. Yeah, your work with Microsoft and
sure, yeah, I'd love to
all that kind of fun stuff, and yeah, that'd be definitely be a lot of fun. So, all right, you want to give us some contact information before we let you go here, Mark?
All righty. So I think I mentioned the website address, which is www.levelstar.com. I'm pulling open my cheat sheet so I don't miss anything. We have two mailing lists for discussions of use of the icon. They're on freelists.org. One is icon-discuss-subscribe@freelists.org if you want to subscribe to that one, or icon-announce-subscribe for announcements about releases and that sort of thing.
All right. We have one more caller for you, Mark, before we let you go. Caller, welcome to Main Menu Live.
Yeah, thank you very much. I was listening to the demonstration. I had a question. My thought is more along the lines of business applications, and I'm not that familiar with the Linux applications.
Uh-huh.
Is there some type of spreadsheet that could actually be run on this icon?
We don't have a spreadsheet right now, no.
I see. And the other thing that I was wondering about is when you were using the browsing the Internet, you made mention of references to being able to jump from link to link and that type of thing. Is there some means by which you can actually search for a particular string on the website itself?
We are adding that right now. That's on the final feature additions list before we ship. So that will be in the
browser.
That's
great. Hey, thanks a lot.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mark, when do you plan on actually shipping the icons?
Well, the icons are shipping now under on the early bird special, and
okay.
The idea is that for getting in early,
you get some test.
Additional. Yeah, well, no, it's further along than that. We basically didn't have the browser fully done when we started, and so browser's getting very close, and so I'm expecting that probably in the next couple weeks the early bird special will be done, and we'll be in full icon 1.0 mode.
Awesome. So, okay. And you're going to be at ATIA?
Yeah, we're headed out tomorrow down to ATIA. We have a booth there, and you know, I should have asked for the booth number, and I don't have it.
That's all right. I'm sure we'll find you.
And we're also going to be at CSUN. And just I'd like to give the phone number too, just in case people want to call. I forgot to do that.
Yep.
303-926-4334 or toll free 1-800-315-2305.
All right, Mark.
We're looking forward to seeing you at CSUN, Mark.
Excellent.
Yeah,
we'll be there, and we'll be doing some podcasts. I'm sure we'll run into you.
We'll have
so
to lament about the good old days or the bad old days.
Oh, that'll be fantastic. Well, Jeff, thank you so much for inviting us.
Absolutely.
To be here and letting me talk about the icons. So
yeah,
it's been great. We appreciate it.
We definitely want to have you back when you get more features added, and also just to have you back and talk tech. So,
that'd be great.
All right, great. Hold on there, Mark, for just 1 second, please, and I'm going to put everybody here on mute.
Next, we're going to, while we get our next guest here on the phone, because I do not have a secretary, unlike Gary the board guy. All right, well, what we're going to do now is we're going to hear a 2-minute presentation from Jamie Pauls. This is going to be a regular segment here on Main Menu Live, and it's a review from Access Watch. So listen in on that, and we'll be back with our next guest.
You're listening to Main Menu Live on ACB Radio Mainstream.
Hello, Main Menu listeners. This is Jamie Pauls with an Access Watch software review. As I read the mailing lists, one question seems to come up over and over and over again. And that question is, what is a really good antivirus program that I can use with speech? Well, I have a possible solution for you. It's one that I'm very pleased with. It is Windows Live OneCare. You can find it at www.windowsliveonecare.com. The program takes care of antivirus, anti-spyware, anti-phishing, has a two-way firewall, does system performance tune-ups, and also backs up and restores your files. Microsoft has provided a very generous 90-day trial of the program, after which you can purchase the program for $49.95 a year for up to 3 computers. One of the features that I found very striking about the program is that there's an icon in the system tray that tells you whether Windows Live OneCare has a status of good, fair, or poor. If everything is excellent, that means all the virus definitions are up to date, all of the files have been backed up properly, so on and so forth. If you have a fair status, that means that in my case, I do not have an external hard drive on my system, so I have not allowed Windows Live OneCare to back up my files yet. And if you have a poor rating, that means that something serious is wrong. For example, you don't have the latest virus definitions because perhaps of a lost internet connection. The status information reads well with both WindowEyes version 6.0 and JAWS version 8.0. I've tested the program itself more extensively with WindowEyes, but I understand that it also does work with JAWS. The program updates itself automatically, as you might expect. Version 1.5 of the program will be released on January 30th, 2007. I'm going to give this program a 5 rating, which on AccessWatch is excellent. You can check it out again at www.windowsliveonecare.com. Don't forget to visit us at www.accesswatch.info. You can email me, jamiepauls@gmail.com. Let me know why.
You're listening to Main Menu Live, airing at 2 hours Universal on Wednesday. To participate in the show, please call toll-free 866-400-5333. That's 866-400-5333.
All right, now we have Stephen Guerra here with us, along with Daryl, Don, and Randy, and let's bring everybody in here. Hello, Stephen.
Jeff, how are you? Daryl, Don, and Randy, how are you?
Hey, Steve.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah, so now we heard your review here on Main Menu earlier, all about the new item that you're featuring. And it sounds really interesting. And we went over to Walmart yesterday looking for it. Couldn't find it, but kind of interesting because I wanted to actually get a little sneak peek at it. But it was definitely
it's packaged really, really nice. It's in a plastic casing, and inside the casing is a little oval piece with a stem on top where you would put the crayon. For aesthetic reasons, it looks like a head of Dora the Explorer. And on the back side of it is a button that you press where it plays that music like it was in the beginning of that little segment before. And then you have if you can all remember from years ago, the way the old crayons were, where they were thick with definite sides to them. There were six sides to them. But these crayons are crayons encased in plastic. And though it may seem that it's not a real crayon, it does draw. You can use the crayon successfully. It is a little bit on the light side, but it still is a definite crayon.
Interesting. Now, if any of you have any questions for Stephen tonight, either in reference to this product or any Independent Living Aids product, give us a call, 866-400-5333, 866-400-JEFF. Now, Stephen, I'm going to take you off topic just a little bit, if that's okay.
Okay. And I just want to mention really quick that this is an added benefit for all our customers, and just to show that Independent Living Aids fully supports Braille and the use of Braille. What we've done for all of our customers who purchase the crayons and any of the crayons that we sell, they are all labeled with contraction Braille for the colors, BL for blue and YL for yellow. So they're Braille prior to you actually putting the crayon in the head, so you know what color you're putting in. We felt that a blind child or a blind parent wouldn't know what color they're picking up, and they would associate with Braille, even if some of them don't read Braille.
Or if you're in a situation where you're, you know, working with children a lot,
sure,
you know, that are sighted, yeah, it would really be beneficial to have them as well. So
yeah.
Now listen.
And we also figured out that Daryl and his wife would probably enjoy that too.
Aww.
What did you want to take off topic, Jeff?
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about, and because I know this is a pretty interesting topic that's been running around mailing lists and things like that, and that's about the Olympus DS50.
Okay.
And now I know that you guys have been in touch with Olympus, and I just wanted to find out, and I know we didn't talk about this prior, so you can just tell me that you really don't have any more information, but I just wanted to find out, have you heard any more? I know that I heard today from Mike Calvo from Cerotech, and he actually got one. It's going to be at his house tomorrow, and he's going to take it to ATIA. So if you're going to ATIA, you can tackle him and steal it from him or something.
I'm not going to be ATIA. Unfortunately, I've been relegated to stay here in the cold in New York. But our sales director, Fran, is going to be at ATIA in
booth
609. I can tell you, though, we are going to carry it. We do not have them yet. I'm kind of surprised that that Mike has got it so early, since the release date is really not till the 30th of January.
Yeah, I don't know how he got it, but he actually has a UPS next day number, and he's going to have it tomorrow. So,
hey, all the best to him. If somebody's going to get it, I know he'll have the means of getting it.
Yeah, you were going to make a comment, Randy?
Yeah, I ordered one this morning.
Oh, you did? Where did you get yours?
From someplace called Video Something.
Okay.
And it was in stock, and it's on it, and got it. I got shipping confirmation this afternoon, and it's on its way to me.
Wow, that's
they're definitely out there.
That's terrific. That's great. Now,
by all means, whoever's able to do the first podcast, by all means, kudos to them. But it's Independent Living Aids is going to sell the DS50 we feel that it's probably going to be the most widely used item since it's the largest in size and gig. It has a carrying case and also the remote control. But by all means, anyone who's interested in, if they don't want to, if they're not so much in a hurry, they can contact Independent Living Aids after the 1st of February.
Absolutely. I think it's probably really the best one that you'd want to have anyway. 866-400-5333, 866-400-JEFF. Don, Randy, or Darryl, do you have any questions for Stephen tonight?
Well, Stephen, is there anything new with the Milestone 311 as far as support for new formats or any
there is,
firmware updates?
There is going to be new information that will be probably released in or before the CSUN. And by all means, I will, if anyone is interested in finding out the information, we like to try to treat our customers with some previews to everything before we actually release it to the public. So if anyone's interested in joining a mailing list for Milestone, they can send email to can-do, that's can-do, at independentliving.com. And I will gladly send you the instructions on how to subscribe to the mailing list for the Milestone. But we're anticipating to have several announcements. Of course, right now you can obtain Daisy compatibility with the Milestone 311. That's Daisy 2.02. Unfortunately, there are not any, if limited, Daisy providers in the United States. So it's limited. We were limited, and we were hesitant to release that information because, again, there's no providers. And you could probably, if you are a subscriber or you have the Eclipse software from IRTI, you can use that software to create your own Daisy. But still, there are no Daisy providers in the United States that I'm aware of currently. But there will be some exciting announcements prior to CSUN, and yeah, that will be available for CSUN. For the Milestone 311,
we just had Peter Prasha on here on Main Menu just a week or two ago, all about what's going on with them. And we actually have a caller. Welcome to Main Menu Live.
Hi Jeff, it's call number two, so it's going to be very quick. Hi Stephen, hi everybody else. Jeff, I bet you have some listeners in this hour who might not have heard the demo of Stephen's product. Can you kind of review for? Actually, I missed it too because I was on the phone.
Okay,
about
well,
the
Steve,
crayons.
Well, you know, I'll do one even better, and just want to go off on tangent and say something to all the listeners and everybody on the panel. Our newest catalog is currently available on our website, which is 2007 catalog. The print editions are actually going out next week. On our website, for the Dora the Explorer interactive talking crayons, the item number is 363569. If you go to our website of independentliving.com and search for that item number, again, 363569, I can proudly tell you that on the second page where you'll see the more advanced description of the item, there is a link that you can listen to Dora the Explorer interactive talking crayons. It's the clip that was used in the podcast, and if anyone is interested in listening to the actual podcast that was played earlier this evening, that will be available later on this week on our website on that same page.
Yeah, it will also be here.
And it'll also be available on our replay too.
That's right.
Exactly.
But I just wanted to make sure that, you know, because I know I missed it, unfortunately, so.
It's really great. Good.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Marlena, and appreciate
you
calling in.
A couple other quick things I want to tell everybody also, that we are going to have our 2007 catalog in Braille at $25 for three volumes. Is just over 400 pages in Braille.
Wow.
It is going to be, again, the same price as it was last year. For $25, you'll get three volumes. We are taking orders for that now. They will probably be available within the month. And our cassette edition of the catalog will be available also within about the next month. That's being recorded live as we speak. But our catalog is in full swing. We had an easier time this year of making sure that catalog was ready for the web and for the brailing and for the cassette recording and such. So we're on the ball this year, and we're moving forward.
Well, great, Stephen. We want to thank you for joining us tonight, and We really do. We definitely do really appreciate that, and we'll definitely have to have you back here in a few months to talk about definitely what's new with the milestone when we get closer to CSUN or slightly after that.
Absolutely, and if, Jeff, if I can just mention again, if anyone's interested in the milestone mailing list, they can email thecan-do@independentliving.com for instructions on subscribing to that mailing list, as well as to get questions and answers about any of our products. And if not, you can call us at 800-537-2118. And thank you, Jeff, for the great format. Love the format. It's definitely a listen-to thing.
Absolutely.
And Daryl, Don, and Randy, thanks for your chiming in.
Oh, hey, well, hold on 1 second. We have time maybe for a very, very, very quick caller here. We're almost at the top of the hour, actually. Caller, if you can make it quick, we can take your call. Welcome to
Jeff, cut me off, but I'm just going to quickly say that we have...
Hi, Jeff.
We have somebody.
Shirley,
yeah, we do.
How are you this evening?
Hello, Shirley. We have... Let me see. Let me just check the time here.
We have about 3 minutes.
3 minutes. Okay, so you have about a minute and a half because I have some closing things to do, too. So,
Shirley,
okay.
What's up?
I would like to know if in the new catalog... Stephen can tell us if there are any new Talking Clock radios coming out.
Oh, good question.
We have one that is a very small one. I don't have that item number, Shirley, but if you want to call me tomorrow at the 800 number that I mentioned, the 800-537-2118, I'll be glad to share it with you. And yes, we do have a clock radio
sure.
in that catalog.
And all of you have a good evening. Thanks
you
a
too.
Lot.
Bye-bye.
One last piece, Jeff, that's brand new to ILA this year. We have a combination talking Braille watch in either a four-button variety or one-button variety.
Oh, interesting.
Brand new to ILA, and it's nice looking, and it's a great little watch.
Great.
We have it both in men's and ladies.
How much is it?
The Silvertone ladies, four-button or one-button, is $54.95, as well as the Silvertone for men's is $54.95, and then the Gold Tone for men's or ladies, one button or four button or $69.95.
Okay. All right. Well, great, Stephen. We're going to let you go, and we'll be in touch, and we'll catch you in a few months here on Main Menu Live again.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Now, Randy and Don, you're definitely going to be back in February, right?
Great.
Right.
Oh, absolutely.
And what we're going to do, just so that everyone is aware, we're going to basically have open lines with them. And we're going to talk technology tonight. We had two guests that we wanted to get on and definitely try to make sure that people's questions were answered. Next week on Main Menu Live, we're going to have a three-hour live presentation with three different guests. Our first hour is going to be with Daniel Hubbell from Microsoft Corporation. He's going to talk to us all about Windows Vista. During the second hour, we're going to be bringing on Mike Calvo from Saratech Corporation, talking to us all about system access with Windows Vista. And in the third hour, we're going to be bringing on Doug Joffre from GW Micro to talk to us all about what's happening with WindowEyes and Vista. So that's what's coming up next week. You definitely do not want to miss that. Get your questions to us. If you have any that you want to be asked, you can email them to mainmenu@acbradio.org, or you can simply just call in. We'll have the phone lines open, and we'll be taking your calls all about Windows Vista. That edition of Main Menu Live is actually the day that Windows Vista launches. So if you are one of those lucky people who's going to stand in line, then there you go. You'll be one of the first to get it. So let's see here. I think just checking the. Yep, we're just at the top of the hour. We're going to go ahead and call it a night here on Main Menu Live. We'll be back next week. Gentlemen, just hold on 1 second, and we'll be right back with you. Good night, everybody.
If you would like to contact the Main Menu production team or panel of experts heard this evening on Main Menu Live, then simply send an email to mainmenu@acbradio.org. That's mainmenu@acbradio.org. If you have suggestions for topics or you have questions that you would like to have addressed on a future edition of Main Menu Live, then email us and we'll do what we can to answer them or cover your suggested topics on a future Main Menu Live. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us next week on ACB Radio Mainstream for another Main Menu Live.